We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Untangle, the podcast from Meditation Studio. I'm Patricia Karpus. In this series, we introduce you to real people with extraordinary stories and experts who share how meditation and mindfulness practices change our lives. Our podcast is brought to you by Meditation Studio, Apple's pick as one of the 10 best apps of the year. Why download the app? Because life is messy. We get stressed, anxious, have trouble sleeping, we work too hard, we deal with conflict, our hearts get broken, we worry about the state of the world. We meditate because we're human. Our app gives you hundreds of meditations from over 30 leading experts. It helps a lot. And if you haven't tried the app yet, you can now try it for free and explore a starter series plus a sample of some of our favorite guided meditations in the Discover collection. You may also want to check out our new meditation collections this year. Mindful eating, work, authentic leadership, and a special collection just for college students. There's also a new mindful work and sleep basics course. If you've already got the app, check out our new unguided meditation timer where you can create your own meditations with or without our brand new, pretty amazing music tracks. And don't forget the 8 free meditations on Alexa. Just ask her to enable Meditation Studio. Today's guest is Dina Kaplan, former co-founder and COO of Blip TV and Emmy Award-winning journalist turned meditation expert and entrepreneur. Dina is now the founder and CEO of The Path, where she hosts weekly meditation gatherings, teacher trainings, and pretty amazing retreats like Mela, the conscious leadership retreat that's coming up in a few weeks. Dina walks the talk. She's pretty darn honest about how she used to have imposter syndrome as a leader and dealt with crippling anxiety before she started her meditation practice. This, she says, has had a life-changing impact on her and, in fact, was her inspiration for creating The Path. Her mission is to bring more conscious and kind awareness into the world and to help all of us become more aware, awake, and compassionate. And everything she's doing with The Path and Mela is designed to support us to bring more mindfulness into our lives, helping us tap into our own intuition, inner guidance, and emotional intelligence. I'm so excited about the work that she's doing because we all need a little help with how we lead our own lives and, when we're leading others, how to be more fully aware of the impact that we're having on them. Now, here's Dina. Dina Kaplan, it is so awesome to have you back on Untangle today. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Patricia. I love being here. I love you. I'm really excited to connect with you and the community also.
Oh, yay. So for those that didn't hear the first interview that we did, I want to give them a little background on what The Path is. Would you mind just giving us a little bit of the foundation for that?
Yes, with pleasure. The very quick overview of the founding was that I used to be a tech founder, did not do a good job of being myself and staying true to myself in that role of founder and chief operating officer of my first startup. Ended up having panic attacks and couldn't walk down a street for 2 years. I know we talked about all of this last time. And it ended up culminating in me leaving the company quite suddenly when I realized I didn't have the confidence to walk across the street to get into to my office in the same week that I was on the cover of the New York Times business section. So sort of the height of irony, you know, held up as this role model on the outside, but completely playing a role in a mess on the inside. That ended up leading me to leave the company, take a 2.5 year trip around the world. Through that, I found myself, found my calm, and I really found meditation. And I had an inspiration on a 12-day silent retreat in India in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And I would have left if I could have, but there was nowhere to get to from there. And no Ubers or tut-tuts or buses or anything. I couldn't get out of there. And on day 8, I had this inspiration that I was going to come out of this retreat a better person and that everyone should have the chance to do this, but that it didn't need to be this hard. I was on this retreat with no soap, no toilet paper, no air conditioning. It was 120 degrees every day. And I had this inspiration that I was going to start a company to bring meditation to the mainstream, and that everywhere we guided meditations, it would be beautiful and full of light. Dare I say sexy, Patricia? And it was like this voice came to me that said I was going to do all this and that the company would be called The Path. So that was the origin of the story. Now we're 3.5 years later. We've led weekly meditations. Since then, we guide them in New York. I travel a lot, and I also flirt with living in other places like LA and San Francisco. So we're very active there. So if you have listeners there, I invite you to sign up for our invitation list, and we'll invite you to small retreats that we do. We sometimes do day retreats that end in a beautiful dinner party, and weekly meditations. If I'm in LA for a few weeks, I'll do that. But our base is in New York. And the other thing we do is teacher training programs. So we certify people to teach both mindfulness meditation. And right now I'm actually in a program to certify people to teach compassion meditation, which is extraordinary. We actually have our closing retreat for that next Saturday. So I'm excited about that. But the big thing that we're doing this year that's new, that's exciting, and that I'm really, really thrilled to share with you and your whole community is called Mela. And it's a retreat like I don't think has ever existed before, which is why I founded it. You could say it's a bit like a TED for meditation. That's what Entrepreneur Magazine just called us. It's a curated retreat for business leaders and people who run film sets and who are directors and producers of TV shows and people, everything from business to startups to medicine and science. And we want to invite all of these people really leaning in on their careers and take them on a real retreat.
What does that mean, actually? So when you talk about the people that you're inviting or that are coming to the Mela retreat, that they're film people and business leaders, is this a retreat to really target, tap into that top leadership community in the country?
Basically, what I would say, Patricia, is that my high mission, we have some missions that are on the more granular day-to-day level, but the overall mission of The Path is to raise global consciousness. And look, we do a great job sending out these certified teachers, dozens and dozens and dozens of them to go teach meditation. But I really believe that Mela will have a huge impact because the people that we're bringing in for it, and by the way, we have a few spots left, not a lot, but a few left. So if anyone in your community is interested in joining or learning more about it, please email us at sit, S-I-T. It's like another word for meditate, sit@thepath.com, or just go to our site and follow the link for Mela. And you can nominate yourself or nominate someone else, but it might just be easier to email us at sit@thepath.com. We'll get right back to you. The idea is that if we bring in someone who's managing a team or a company or a film set that has dozens, and some of these people impact hundreds of people, and some of them impact thousands of people, if we bring them in, we put them on a real retreat with two of the most renowned teachers in the country, they are going to come out of that more mindful, more aware of themselves and their impact on others. And the idea is that that will have a huge, huge ripple effect through business, startups, medicine, science. And we want to change the world. I really want to make people more aware, and not just of themselves, because I think in our spiritual world, and maybe you and I can giggle about this sometime, but you can become a little self-involved as you start going down your path. I know it happened to me.
Yes.
A lot of my friends, you're thinking, oh, I have this trigger from being 4 and that's affected my whole life. And you might spend a year thinking about that. And we've all gone through that. I've gone through that too. No judgment. But at some point, you do become more aware as you go further down your path of your impact, the effect you're having on other people. When you cancel an appointment with someone, when you say you're going to do something and then you don't do that, all of these little things that people do, they do in modern society. You might tell someone, I'm going to call you back, and then you don't call. all of these seemingly innocent things do have an effect on other people. And the idea is that if we can take people on a real retreat, and the theme, which we can talk about in a little bit, is conscious leadership, and make them more conscious, more aware, that people will start being more kind, more kind to the people working with them, for them, above them, if they have shareholders or investors. And in the end, through their friendships, their personal relationships. And my hope is that even if we can impact just 0.00001% and make people more kind and spread that, the world becomes less corrosive and more kind.
I love that mission. It's so beautiful. And I'm curious about, you learned and were inspired by meditation through a silent retreat. What is it at this retreat that we have to learn in order to really have that positive impact? What actually happens that transforms us? And how do we then take that out into the world and practice it in real life?
You know, what's funny is I haven't really thought about this so deeply on the conscious level, but on a subconscious level, you absolutely nailed it, which is that people transform on retreat, right? You know this, I know this. Anyone who's deep into meditation will tell you that if you go on a retreat, especially if you go on a silent retreat, you might advance 6 months, 9 months, you might advance a year over someone that's meditating every day. And I'm sorry for anyone that can't go on retreat, but even if you can go on for one day and just email us at sitatthepath.com and I'll give you some instructions for putting yourself on a day retreat that costs nothing and just do it on a Saturday or Sunday so it doesn't interfere with your work life. But when you go on retreat, you advance because there's something about, especially if you can do it with other people, about being with a group of people who are all going in with this like-minded vision of changing themselves, becoming more conscious, becoming more mindful, is advancing your own spiritual practice in whatever way is important to you. Now, what I noticed, Patricia, and it's funny what you've picked up on, is that there are other retreats out there. I started my meditation practice unintentionally because I thought I was going on a date with you.
Oh, right. I remember that.
First podcast together. I went on pretty innocently, but it was a wildly powerful retreat. But it was also a retreat with no soap and no toilet paper and no air conditioning. And really, one of my inspirations behind creating Nayla is that I don't think that made the retreat better. I don't think I became a better meditator, if that's not a ridiculous thing to say. I don't think I advanced further down my path because there were not towels with which I could dry my hands after I washed my hands. I don't think I advanced and became more spiritual because there was no easily accessible toilet paper on this retreat. So my idea was, let's take people who might not put themselves on a 12-day retreat like that. Let's actually make it easy. Let's take them somewhere absolutely beautiful. You can't complain about anything else. You can't complain about your surroundings. We're doing this one in Sedona.
We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute, casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is, "Take comfort in Born Shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show.
Surrounded by the red rocks. It's really epic. We're at a 5-star resort. The food will be organic and gourmet. So what if there's nothing to deal with, nothing to complain about except to deal with yourself? And so that is the idea behind Mela. So it's really, there's no excuse not to go unless you can't take the time off or, I mean, you have to pay for it and all of that. But in terms of your own spiritual practice and your creature comforts, the only thing that will be difficult or that could be difficult is beginning to deal with yourself in a quiet environment where everyone's choosing to go within.
Now, is it 100% silent retreat or is there some guided meditation and guided talks.
Well, to be clear, for anyone interested in going on a silent retreat, you're super guided. I mean, I love the retreat that I was on. You're guided every night. You're guided throughout the day. Mm-hmm. You're just not responding to a lot of that guidance. But on this retreat, it will be mostly talking. We have some amazing, I mean, many amazing people coming. So I'm really excited for people to meet each other. I'm convinced that lifelong friendships will form from this. I mean, I know that people will do business deals and maybe join the board of advisors of different people's companies or invest. We have some founders coming, early stage, mid stage, late stage investors coming. So I feel like some business deals will come out of it. Hopefully they won't be what's happening over the dinner table, because we're going to moderate those discussions. But I'm convinced that lifelong friendships will emerge from this. And it's hard to do that when you're in silence. So I think what we'll do is we're honing in on the final details. We might have some silent mornings or silent hikes, because of course we're in Sedona. We have to go hiking in the morning. It's sort of a requirement of being in Sedona, I think. But so we'll have different sections that will be silent, but you can actually go really deep on a retreat, even through talking. And we will have these moderated questions over all of the meals. People will talk about, what was your first experience with meditation? What was your first big inspiration that you had from meditation? And so through that, I actually think those questions and that kind of bonding and thought-provoking conversations can actually further our own path. And we start to realize things about ourselves through thoughtful conversations with other meditators.
I really like that mela means in Sanskrit, gathering. And I think that that's such a big part of what you're doing in terms of creating community, where people will become sort of lifelong friends and be able to deepen their practice by having conversations with each other. That seems to be a really important part of this as well.
Yes, I mean, you're more likely, I mean, this is one of the three important parts of the Buddhist path is community. You have teacher, you have dharma, wisdom, and you have community, you have sangha. And so this is a sangha. I mean, we have many people coming on this retreat that are coming right from other retreats.
Like, oh, wow.
Serious retreats. And so I'm asking them, I'm actually curious, what's drawing you? And they say, I want to be part of a sangha.
Yeah.
There is something very powerful about being in a sangha and a group like this, where everyone is really having impact. Like I said, whether it's on a TV set or a film set at their companies and their startup and science and business, nonprofit, all these different industries, the conversations that we're going to have about how can we spread consciousness through our world, through our work world, is going to be, I mean, I'm almost getting chills even talking with you about it.
I think so it's exciting. Crazy.
Yeah, it really has the potential for huge impact. I'm kind of just amazed that this hasn't happened before. So I'm really excited to bring people together. I'm thinking of myself in this as just, I'm just the convener. I'm convening the people. I'm bringing in Sharon Salzberg and Will Kabat-Zinn. And then what happens when you bring together, when you convene people with impact and put them on retreat?
Yeah. It's amazing. I want to roll back the clock a little bit, because your background is as a leader. You seem to sort of embody leadership. You were the COO of a major Silicon Valley company, and you are the leader of the path. And what are some of the things that you've learned since you began your meditation practice in a much sort of deeper way that have really transformed you? And why did you decide with mela to really focus on conscious leadership? So first, sort of have you personally been changed? And then why is this so important right now in our world?
Oh, you got me in a vulnerable spot, I have to tell you. First of all, I'm coming from my college reunion. I just got back yesterday, where everyone said, we knew you were going to do great things.
Oh,
God, am I doing great things? Oh, my God. But I am the leader. I'm one of the leaders, one of the class agents of my class. So I was feeling that a lot. And looking back and reflecting on my career, and I'll be honest with you, Patricia, because I know we're friends outside of the podcast world as well. I was not a great leader at my first startup. I really wasn't. I think I might have wanted to be and might have thought of myself as a leader, maybe not, but I didn't do a good job, because at that time I was 100% living in the should. This was really before I took my own meditation journey, 12-day no toilet paper silent retreat at all.
Yeah.
And I was just plagued by this childhood desire that I hadn't shaken yet to be popular. It's really hard to do a good job running a company. I wasn't CEO, but I was COO, as you said, of Blip, my first startup. And I just wanted everyone to like me. It was really, really hard to have a really strong pleasing instinct while your company is scaling. Basically, it just doesn't work. And anyone who's in business or running a business, even if it's in the medicine or scientific field, is going to be laughing and smiling, nodding along with me. You have to make tough calls and you have to give tough feedback. And by the way, if you have someone working for you that messes up, a lot of times they know they messed up. And they just need you to tell them that and tell them how they can do better and say that you believe in them and move on. But I didn't even have the confidence to do that, Patricia, before I meditated. I just was afraid to rock the boat, afraid I didn't deserve to be where I was, a little thing called imposter syndrome. I tell people I was playing a role the whole time, even though I was held up as this role model. It was like I was the star of this film called Imposter Syndrome, which is really a role that neither I nor anyone else wants to play. I just didn't have confidence. It was just so much fear. Do people like me? Do I deserve to be where I am? Is my staff going to quit? Do I want more staff? Is that going to cause more problems or will that alleviate more work? Just so much fear. And it's almost like a paralyzing indecision on how to handle all of the workload that I had and trying to figure out what to delegate, how to manage. So long story short, I did a terrible job leading. And then I went on this 2.5 year trip around the world. I found meditation. And it's funny, Patricia, it affected me as a person, as a friend, my day-to-day self very quickly. But it took much longer for it to affect me as a leader. And I actually feel like, to be honest, it only clicked in around a month and a half ago. Years after the trip.
What happened a month and a half ago that made you feel like it really clicked in?
So it's funny because what happened was more on the personal side, but I had a friend who I had met on a leadership trip to Japan. It was this trip called Flow Journeys. And I thought she was just great. It was this group of entrepreneurs and investors who went to Japan to sort of tour around and get to know each other and bond. And we really connected. And I thought we had formed the basis of a lifelong friendship. And she lives in LA. So I moved to LA for 4 months this past winter, as you know, moved out in December and emailed her right away. Hey, I'm in town. Let's hang out. And then a few more times, hi, I'm doing this party. I'm hosting this dinner. I'm hosting this meditation. Do you want to come? Do you want to come? Do you want to come? And she always said no. So on my second to last day, I said, hey, I'm sorry we didn't get to see each other, but I'm having a goodbye party tonight. Do you want to come? And she said, I don't think I can make it, but let me know the next time you're in town. Now, this is going to sound very simple, and yet it's everything. So I saw that. And the old me, that pleasing side, the girl that was COO of Blip, would have just said, okay, sounds great. I'll let you know, right? Pleasing, easygoing. Yeah, no worries, dude. The cool girl, just hoping to be popular. All good, you know, no worries, dude. In fact, my meditation side kicked in. This authenticity, this fearlessness, I guess I would call it. That's not rude or abrupt or aggressive, but that just has the confidence to be honest. And so you know what I did is I texted her back and said, you know, I really thought we made the basis of a true friendship in Japan, but have I said something wrong or done something wrong? Because I've been here for 4 months and we haven't seen each other. And I really wanted to get to know you better. And would you know that this woman picked up the phone and was crying and said, you've broken open my heart. You are the real deal. I need to start meditating because you are fearless. And the confidence that you had to reach out to me made me realize that I need to get over my social anxiety. I was just afraid if I invited you over, that you wouldn't want to come, that you would feel obligated. And I just insulated myself from everyone except my boyfriend and a few friends. But your confidence and your fearlessness, you meditation advocate who lives the talk, preaches what you preach, but also lives by it. You've broken me open. And do you want to have dinner your last night with me and my boyfriend, who's a big, big, big executive for Elon Musk? And so we did. And it just taught me, it's a simple thing. And yet having the confidence to actually be authentic, say what's on your mind with friends, with the people that work above me, my investors, with the people that work for me, who I'm very honest with. I'm happy about this. Not happy about this. Yeah, I felt badly when you said this. You messed up this. I know you can do better. How can I do a better job supporting you so you don't make this mistake again? I'm brutally honest now. And I'm also funny because I have the confidence to be funny. And that makes me a better leader, a more conscious leader.
Well, you know,
my name's Dwayne Osterlin. I'm host of the Addicted Mind podcast. Are you ready to uncover the science of breaking addiction? Then join me on the Addicted Mind, where compassion meets innovation. We're going to explore real stories of addiction recovery, hear from real experts on science-based treatment, and you'll be able to equip yourself with the tools for lasting change. So whether you're on the road to recovery yourself or walking alongside someone who is, the Addicted Mind podcast is your companion. So check it out. Subscribe on whatever podcast app you're using right now. now and be part of the conversation that's changing lives.
What I really like about that story is that you could have, with this friend, gone into all these different stories in your head, right? You could have gone into, she doesn't like me, I said something wrong, similar to what you started to do before you caught yourself. And instead, you didn't create all these stories. You went head on into the situation. And I think that's such a beautiful thing, because so many of us, when we get triggered, that's one of the big things that meditation helps with, right? It's not getting caught up in all of these really familiar stories that we tell ourselves that sort of validate who we think we are, but we're able to like get off of that autopilot train and be the person that we really want to be. And I think that's such a brilliant example of that. I'm so proud of you for doing it. And you're right, it's a simple example, but you could have just gone home mopey that somebody didn't like you, that you thought liked you, or you could have made up any story about it.
Or been angry, like, what the heck? What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. But it was about her. It was about her. And being able to share that and her being able to share her vulnerability with you was a great thing. I mean, I'm sure it was transformative for both of you.
It was.
Yes.
Yeah, it was wildly transformative. And I do this with my team. It's funny, I have a team member who helps us, who's extraordinary and helps us with all of our back end stuff with the ticketing. I mean, really, essentially like a chief of staff for all aspects of the path. And she loves the teacher training programs because they're amazing. And she's gone through two of them and they really are impactful. And you're crying by the end because you don't want them to end, both because of the community of that teacher training group and also the wisdom and just knowing what you're going to do every Wednesday night and every Saturday. It's really, really nice. So she's pushing forward on her teacher training programs. We always have ones that we're in or that we're about to announce. And I had to use that same vulnerability and honesty with her and say, I know why you're into the teacher training programs and they're very important, but we have to focus on Nayla. Here is why. And rather than being pissed at her, because I told her this 25 other times, but rather than being pissed or angry or triggered, I just had to say, here's what's on my mind. And here's why this is important. And here's why this is important to the future of the company. And here's why this fits in with our mission. So it's this ability to be nuanced with people, which is things aren't all bad. They're not all good, but people have their reasons for doing things. It's like my friend in LA had this reason for cocooning herself and pulling herself back from me and really just everyone. Just like one of my team members had her reason for really wanting to focus on teacher training rather than this awesome new thing we're doing called Nayla. And I just had to look at the nuance of that and honor what both of their initial inclinations were and explain, hey, here's why this is important to me and here's how I feel and share my feelings. And that was something I so didn't have the confidence to do at Blip. So to answer your question, we're calling the retreat the theme Conscious Leadership. To be honest, part of it is so that people can business expense it because I do think it will make people better leaders. So that's important, I say with a smile, but it's also true. But if we can make people more conscious as leaders, I mean, what a gift to all of their employees, what a gift to their shareholders or their investors, whether it's a public-private company, what a gift to everyone in their work orbit, someone who's conscious, who's understanding, who's seeing how things are from your point of view. What an incredible legacy we can help to spread across the country and through the world.
Yeah. And I like what you were just saying about the sort of seeing things from different perspectives. You can see something in someone that frustrates you and know that they're competent and can do a good job in another area. But it's like there are always other things that may seem inconsistent, but aren't.
Yeah, and look, we all are, right? We're all inconsistent about things, and sometimes we are honest with ourselves, and sometimes we're not. But the other thing that, as I think about this conversation and your thoughtful question, is that we're in a very corrosive time, right? Our politics are very corrosive. We've had very tough things happen in business. I mean, Enron was a long time ago, but Uber is a more modern example. We have the whole Me Too movement. We have a lot of bad stuff happening in business and politics and startups and all around the world in Hollywood. And I feel like hosting a retreat on the theme of conscious leadership is like the antidote to that. What happens if we can start waking up our leaders across all disciplines, people in education, academics, all across the country and around the world, wake people up one by one, wake them more so they're more conscious, so things like all of the negativity that we're reading about in business and in DC can start to turn around, or at least we'll have some conscious leaders who can infiltrate those areas and to start to bring more light. I mean, that's kind of a cheesy way to phrase it, but can start to do the right thing and act in a way that they're thinking not just about their own actions and their own profit line and the money they're going to take home to their families, but what's my impact on this policy? What's the impact of this on all of my employees, all the people we affect, all of our customers? There's really an opportunity for change there, and I want to make that change for the better.
Are there some conscious leaders that you look up to? Do you have some mentors? Do you have some people that you truly admire that you think are walking the talk?
We might have heard, if you're into this world, of the CEO of Aetna, Mark Bertolini. Now, I know I've heard that it's a little tough to work directly for him, but he's a huge advocate of conscious leadership and spreading meditation throughout his company. It's really, really inspiring to have him out there extolling the benefits of meditation. I mean, one of my co-hosts from Mela is my own mentor and one of my best friends, a guy named Patrick McKenna, who started and sold a bunch of businesses. He's now on his fourth startup. He's also investing in a lot of businesses. And he's always thinking, how can I mentor people? I mean, right now, I just got off the phone with him a few days ago, and he said, I'm the life coach for every single person at my new company. So he's trying to make them, he wants to do well, of course, but also wants them to be conscious. And I see how he acts, which is trying to really live by this do no harm ethic. And it's really inspiring. Jonathan Miller is another one of our co-hosts. He was CEO of AOL for a long time. He ran digital at News Corp. Now he's a big investor, buying companies, investing in a ton of companies, an investor in The Path as well. He's also a martial arts expert. And so he's going to be leading some martial arts, it's an elective, so people can choose to do that or do yoga. And I just see how he acts with people. He's a big muckety-muck. He's a big name in the digital media world. And yet he's so kind with people.
Yeah.
Always so kind and so thoughtful. And then I think about someone I just met recently is Amy Ziering, who's got 2 Academy Award nominations for The Hunting Ground, big film that you've probably heard of about sexual assault on college campuses. She's doing a new one now about sexual harassment in the tech industry. But the way that she acts is just with so much integrity. She says she's going to do something and then she does it. And when she looks at you, she's looking right at you, talking right to you. She's not looking around to see who's more important around you. And so there are these examples of people who are very present, who are conscious. I guess some people use this term awake. If that feels a little distant, no worries. But you know what I would say, Patricia, these are people who are living with integrity. Yeah, and I more and more want to surround myself with people who live with integrity. And it's hard to do. There's a lot of, hey, for lunch, and you don't mean it. But so that's one of the reasons for Mela, is to try to spread integrity.
Yeah, and I think it's such an important, I mean, obviously that's super important. And it's just great to bring people together and know that we're all sort of imperfect and we're not going to be doing things exactly the right way all the time. But that's one of our goals. On your website, you talk about that these teachings will bring more mindfulness into your everyday life and help you make complex decisions with more confidence and tap into your intuition and inner guidance, strengthening your emotional intelligence, and then bringing more compassion to all of your relationships. And who doesn't love all of those possibilities that we can infuse into our lives? How does this affect our life outside of our work situation, outside of our leadership of companies?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. It's funny, I should have also mentioned when you were asking about who do I look up to, one of our co-hosts and a very, very dear friend of mine is Tim Chang, who's a big muckety-muck VC in Silicon Valley with Mayfield Fund. And he too, like I was saying with the others, he just lives with integrity. He says he's going to do something, he does it, it's simple, it's easy, and it's just done. And what's interesting, actually, because you were asking on the personal side too, I mean, I think it's noteworthy that I know a lot of people who Tim has talked to, because he's a, you know, big VC, a lot of people are pitching him. And I know people who he's funded who absolutely love him. And I know people who met with him and who he decided not to fund. And they love him too. And so I think we have this idea that if we don't close a deal with someone in business, or we do something that somebody won't like in business, that they're going to hate us, or that they need to hate us, or there's going to be some negativity there. It doesn't need to be that way. We can interact with people and we can say, hey, no, you know, this isn't a good deal. It's not a great partnership, whatever it is, and still have that person respect us and still treat them with respect and love. And he's someone who does a great job of that. And then if I look at how he acts in his personal life, he hosts these events. They're not called TED. I think he calls them Tim or something like that. His name is Tim. And he's really done a great job of building a community around him. I mean, he's always rallying people to go to this event or that event, or spend 4th of July doing that. So I think being conscious, it differs for different people. If you're an introvert, that might be your idea of a nightmare, right? Or maybe not. I do think everyone enjoys being in community. I think about this a lot in my personal life. And I think it is about making tough decisions. It might mean you're not friends with everyone. It's so common, as we've talked about a few times in our culture, to say things like, hey, call you tomorrow, and then you don't call. And it used to be that that's cool. You know, that's what the cool kids do. But now I've really chosen in my life to surround myself with people who do have integrity, you know, who mean what they say and say what they mean. And I think that's a way for me to stay conscious. So that's one way for me to interact in a conscious way. But another way is just put your friggin' phone down when you're walking down the street. Funny, I was getting breakfast right before we were talking, and I nearly bumped into 8 people in this very short walk from West 8th Street to West 12th Street, because everyone is staring at their phone, like walking like they're on opioid or something. Sorry, I say that with love. It's not, that's actually not something.
That's no, not I hear you.
Thing yes. to say. But I mean, people are walking very unmindfully, let's say, staring at their cell phone. So I think one way to be more conscious is just to simply look up. There's so much beautiful architecture. You and I are both in New York right now. So in New York, especially if you're in Europe, or really most places, if you can look up, you'll see trees, you'll see beautiful balconies, you'll see flowers that people have planted and put out on their terraces with so much love and care. So part of being conscious is just paying attention, right? Jon Kabat-Zinn says mindfulness is paying attention to the present moment without judgment. And so what if we can pay attention to our environment? Do you know that before I started meditating, I didn't realize there were trees on my block? And I mean, sorry if I sound really silly right now, but that's true. I just didn't notice. I was nose was probably in my phone. And now what I started doing, actually, I can share with you since a few days ago, is when I'm walking, even in New York, and you and I both travel a lot, but even in New York, when I'm walking and I pass someone, I'll actually smile and I'll say hi. As absolutely silly as that might sound, but people will say hi back. And through that, you can start to change the energy of a city, I think. So I think being conscious is also, just to give you a third example, is when people are talking, to actually listen to what they're saying rather than wishing that you could check Instagram or pull out your phone. Listen to what they're saying. I think part of being conscious is maybe not planning the thing you're going to say when they pause, but actually just fully taking in, giving them your full attention. Jon Kabat-Zinn also says the biggest gift that we have is our attention. So what if we can focus that great gift that we have, which is our attention, fully on what somebody's saying? Again, we're not looking down. We're not planning what we're going to say next. We're just being present for someone. And then it's okay if we take a second pause and then think of how we want to respond. But that's consciousness, man. Like, that's awareness. That's kindness. That's better than a gift of designer shoes to someone, I think.
Well, that's a great way to answer the question, because that's a great way to build better and just more productive and loving relationships with the people in our lives, right? Be present for them.
Yeah, be present for them. I mean, that is such a gift. I mean, you and I know, because we're meditators. I think if you meditate, you know if someone's really listening to you, or if they're looking around or planning their next comment. There's something beguiling. Charismatic might be the word that actually Olivia Fox Cabone, in her book, The Charisma Myth, talks about this. One of the key elements of charisma is being present. I mean, this is one of the things that back in the day when people talked about Bill Clinton, having this ability to make you feel like you're the only person in the room. That's what it is. He's present. He's listening to you.
Yeah. What a great example. That's so true.
Oh my God, you feel it. So my best friend does this now. She's a big meditator to such a degree that it's actually almost alarming. It's almost off-putting, because when I'm talking, she's just absolutely staring at me, completely 100% present. And it's so, honestly, Patricia, it's so bizarre, because no one does this, but it's funny that that's so jarring. But so maybe after people are listening to this podcast, if we can invite them to try just maybe for 1 hour, it doesn't have to be the whole day, but for 1 hour when you're in conversation with someone, or actually just take an hour of your day. So if you're ordering a coffee or you're getting a juice or you're walking into a friend's building that has a doorman, maybe spend 1 hour being 100% present to the words of everyone around you, everyone that you, whose names you may know or not, and just see how, not only how that impacts them, but see how it makes you feel. And my guess is that both people are going to come out feeling a lift, like feeling alive and energized and inspired that we can live in community together, even in a city.
Yeah. Wow. I hope that people will take on your challenge to practice that, because I think it's an amazing invitation. Dina, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been just awesome having you here, and the retreat sounds unbelievable. And I know a lot of people will want to check that out. So thank you for all the gifts that you're putting out into the world and helping us to be much more sort of conscious and aware and compassionate as human beings. Such a gift. Yeah.
Thank you, Patricia. What you're doing and amplifying the messages of all of the incredible people that you speak with, it's nothing short of bringing more enlightenment to our society. So I almost have tears in my eyes as I say this, but you are truly bringing gifts to millions of people around the world through what you do.
Thank you, Dina. Mutual admiration. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much to Dina for being on Untangle today. You can find out more about the Path or the Mela Retreat, which begins on June 21st, at thepath.com. If you have feedback or suggestions for guests, email me at patricia@meditationstudioapp.com. And if you have a minute, will you subscribe to our podcast? And every rating helps as well. I hope you'll download Meditation Studio in the App Store. We'll see you next time.
We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute, casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is, "Take comfort in Born Shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show.